Good morning. Welcome to the church this beautiful Sunday morning. And the Christian church flings wide its doors like welcoming arms, invites all to come in. This is your Father's house. Enter gladly to praise and pray. First thing is a ritual friendship. The cards are in back of the pews. And if you're a visitor or a regular member, please feel free to fill the cards out. They're quite helpful to the minister and the staff. We want to offer congratulations to our graduates, Ryan Yunkin, Rachel Henschel, Dylan Humble, and Riley Eanes. We wish you many blessings as you take the next step into your future. Okay, there's a couple inserts in the bulletin. The first, of course, is the blue one. That'll be the Father's Day breakfast next Sunday, or that's June 21st, and it's a special invitation to fathers, grandfathers, and all the men of the church. You're invited to be our guests for breakfast Sunday morning, June 21st. Bring your families and enjoy being served by the moms and daughters, and they're quite good at it, I'll tell you that. Serving will begin at 8:30 a.m. and continue until the Sunday school hour, and the omelet lady will be here. There is no charge for breakfast, though a basket will be available for donations. And ladies, help is needed in the kitchen. Let Jackie know if you can help. And a yellow insert, there's a rummage sale Saturday, June 13th. And your things that are needed and wanted are clothing, household items, and toys and books. The donation needed after 1 p.m. on Friday. Also needed volunteers Friday after 1 p.m. to set up and price items. Volunteers on Saturday, June 13th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Come for all day or come for an hour or two. Tell Melissa and Nancy if you can help. Rummage sale to benefit Vacation Bible School this summer. And then the white insert, and this is about the evening with John Kostick, and that is Tuesday, June 16th, 2:15, 7 p.m. in the Christian Church of Connellsville, of course, right here. And it's about spending evening learning the beauty, majesty, and simplicity of the Hebrew alphabet. Discover prophetic insights hidden by God in the Hebrew letters, which reveal deeper truths and old familiar stories. On this night, we will discuss Joseph and his brothers. Behold the fingerprints of God. Also, the calendar of the minister's office hours this week, 9:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Monday at 7 p.m., women's Bible study, and Thursday at 6:45 p.m., choir rehearsal. Workday, that's Tuesday, June 9th, 12 p.m., 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Extra hands are always welcome. And I see here junior youth group will meet at Yawk River Park Sunday, June 14th from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. And transportation will be provided if needed. See Janice or Cheryl.
Bill, that is supposed to be 1 to 3:30.
Okay, 1 to 3:30. Thanks, yes. Cheryl. I was going to say if anybody has any announcements other than what's on here. Are there any? Okay, seeing none, welcome to the Lord's Day. It is our great privilege and responsibility on this day to worship the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Let's spend a moment in a time of silence as we prepare our hearts and minds to worship Him. Community comes together to serve God and worship. The opening hymn this morning in the Brown Hymnal, verses 1, 2, and 4 of number 616, Stand Up for Jesus. Let us come before the Lord with minds that are open to learn, with souls that are ready to receive, with hearts that are ready to love, and with hands that are open to share. Let us bow now for the opening prayer, followed by the Lord's Prayer. We know, Lord, it's going to be a good day. The sun came up. We are living and breathing. All around us, we see evidences of your creative power. And we feel your love and the love of others in this place. Receive our grateful worship and accept our praise. In the name of Jesus, our risen Lord, as he taught us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Comes together to share tithes and offerings. In worship, we receive with gratitude the self-giving love of God. Let us pass on that love to others through our persons and our gifts. The offertory hymn this morning in the Brown Hymnal, verses 1, 2, and 4 of number 630, There is Sunshine in My Soul Today.
Thank you. us to mirror the glory of your sacrificial love, both in our daily lives and in the offerings we present this morning. Amen.
The community proclaims the word of God. The first scripture reading this morning is Acts 9, verses 1 through 9 in the New Testament. That's on page 127. Here begins the reading. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told that what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The anthem this morning, Christ Among Us, by the sanctuary.
This is dedicated to our graduates today. God gave you all that you need to achieve your destiny. All the talents, skills, personality traits, all the treasures that lie within you came from Him. And our hope that you will go out into the world and live your faith boldly and represent Christ as you walk in your journey of life. And our anthem today talks about the Christ among us, and we all should be representing Christ to those around us. It talks about, let us open the clenched fist and extend the open palm. Let us weep till others laugh. Let us be sleepless till all can sleep untroubled. Let us be meek till all can stand up and cry.
Let us open the clenched fist and be shall be comforted.
From the book of Matthew 5, verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
1 John 4:11. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another.
From the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 40. I tell you this. Anything you do for one of my brothers here, however humble, you do it for me.
Good morning. Welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville this first Sunday of June. Indeed, we have much to give thanks for as we gather on this wonderful day. As we gather before the Lord to give thanks for all that we've been blessed with in the life of our church, we do lift up this morning the graduates in our midst, those who graduated this past week, not only from Connellsville Area High School, but from many other high schools, colleges, and schools in the area. We give thanks for all that they have accomplished, and we celebrate that for which they are preparing to do. We also want to celebrate the gift of song that the choir share with us this morning, as they do every Sunday. We want to celebrate the opportunity to share it with the community tonight at our hymn sing. Our first hymn sing, at least since I've been here. I don't know if we've done one way back when, but I'm looking forward to it tonight at 7 o'clock. I hope that you all will come back again to hear not only the singing of the choir, but the singing of yourself. We have a lot of great singers in our congregation, and they're not all just sitting up there. And I hope that you will bring your friends and neighbors. We also have refreshments this evening following the conclusion of the hymn sing. The hymn sing is at 7. Refreshments will follow at about 8. We also celebrate the beginning of camp season as it is about to begin, and we continue to collect paper goods that Sonny will take up to the camp, so anytime you have an opportunity to bring, as he mentioned, paper towels, toilet paper, tissues, things like that, hand sanitizer and soap, please do so and put them over there, and Sonny will take them up to the camp. And if you've not had an opportunity yet to contribute to our camp fund, we also ask that you do so. We will be sending possibly as many as 14 kids to camp this year. They may not all be able to go, but we do have a large number of kids who are express interest in camp. It is a wonderful thing, a wonderful blessing. The church commits to pay at least half of their fees, and if we do collect more, we'll help where we can. So please, if you've not had a chance to do so, you can contribute to the camp fund simply by writing camp fund on your envelope, your offering envelope. As we prepare to give thanks to the Lord this morning and to sing God's praises for all the areas in our life, let us share in our thanksgivings. Let us also share in our prayer concerns this morning. Roxanne. So you're only half done is what she's telling you, Ryan. We give thanks for that. So Shawn Michael graduates this summer. That's wonderful news. We celebrate with you and your family. Many reasons to celebrate. We also give thanks for all those who have been on vacation, who are back, and we know others will be going soon. I myself will be leaving on Friday for the beach, and Dave Premier will be preaching next Sunday. Dave works with Connellsville Community Ministries, in particular with the Circles program. Many of our church members participate in that in various capacities. It'll be a very interesting presentation he'll bring for you, a very important program in the community. I hope that you all make sure you'll be here next Sunday to welcome him and to hear his message. Other joys and concerns today? Tina? So you need to pray for you, Tina, for Rachel and Allie as well. Judah? Continue to give thanks for that and pray for him. And we're praying also for James Undurko, and I visited him this week and learned that they are hoping to move him to a rehabilitation home, so that's a step forward for him. Linda? Pray for the family of George's brother. Do you remember, do you know his name? Yes. Bud. Okay. We pray for the family of Bud Durbich, George's house brother. Yes. Pray for your friend Rosemary, her husband battling renal failure now. Pray for him. Ken? Pray for your Aunt Wanda, and she's suffering, she's rehabbing from an aneurysm, mini stroke, and if anybody wants to see slides of Ken's vacation, he has quite a few. Okay. Ellie? Had 12 friends in a boating accident last week, and we prayed for them last week, and they're all doing better, but they all still have far to go, so let's continue to pray for them and give thanks for their improvement. Jerry. And we do rejoice also to have you here with us today and know that you're doing better. Thank you for sharing that good news. Are there any others? Seeing none other, let us take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. Good and gracious God, as we come together this day at the beginning of the summer, we give thanks for the warm days and the good weather, and the time ahead for rest, relaxation, vacation, and renewal. And we pray that in these times we'll each find some space to enjoy your creation as it reaches its fullest beauty, and time to rest in you a while, to feel your presence and your goodness in our life. And we particularly give you thanks, Lord, for the opportunity to send our children to camp to grow closer to you on top of that wonderful holy mountain that we call Lore of You. And we pray for all those who are attending or planning to attend, that the time there may bring them closer to you and closer to the natural world, the world that you created for them and for us. And pray that they gain a new appreciation of your creative power and the importance of preserving your creation for generations to come. And we pray that in doing so, they may have an example of role models, an example of teachers by their counselors. And may they catch a vision of what it means to be a Christian, a vision that will stay with them for the rest of their life. And we give you thanks as we prepare to undergo another vacation Bible school later this summer and ask prayers and blessings for the teachers and all those who will help, that we may also touch the lives of many children and young people, that they may also have a great and wonderful time, experience of knowledge, and growing closer to one another in your Son, Jesus Christ. For we know, Lord, that the youth face so many crossroads in their lives, so many decisions and temptations, and so many difficulties. And we know that they are better if they face them with you than if they try to face them alone. And we give you thanks for those who are graduated, or about to graduate, to commence the next stage of their life. We give you thanks for all that they have accomplished so far. And we know that the world is at their feet. May they step forward knowing that you are ahead of them, that your Son is with them, beside them, that your Holy Spirit is at their back. So the decisions they make and the paths they choose will be the ones that you have laid out for them. And Lord, we pray these things even as we pray for ourselves as well, for we know that no matter how old we are never too old for you, never too old to need your help or your guidance in our life. Never so old that we don't come across crossroads in our own experience as well. Help us with the decisions we need to make. Help us gain the wisdom we need to have. Give us the patience that accompanies a life of virtue. To know that you are with us always, and to trust that you have our best interest at heart and know what we need. And then, O Lord, give us the wisdom to turn to you and to follow you each day of our life. We pray these things as we've come together in your house, as your family, knowing that you are in all places and all times, but we feel you so strongly now. That our guard has been let down. The barriers in our life have been lowered. And we open our hearts to you just as they are. And lift up to you all of our needs that you know already. But we need to speak. That we need to speak in the silent voices of our minds and hearts to lift up to you our thanksgivings, our concerns, our wants and our needs. And after having done so, then saying, but your will be done, Lord, not ours. In order to help us to know what is important and what is not, to help us to know which path to go down and which ones to turn away from, to help us to know which doors to open and which windows to close. We pray for our needs, but also for others. For Tina and her girls, we lift them into care. And for her new friend, Rosemary, we pray for her and her husband battling renal failure. We pray for Lena and her family as they grieve the loss of her brother-in-law, Bud. We pray for Wanda as she battles or she recovers from a mini stroke. And we pray for those who have been getting better but still have far to go. We give you thanks that Patsy may return home soon. We pray that it may be so. We give you thanks for his recovery and improvement. We give you thanks for the improvement of all those who were injured in the boat accident. And we give you thanks that they have gotten better. We pray that they continue to strengthen and heal. And we give you thanks, O Lord, for Jerry, who's doing well and worshiping with us today. And pray that you continue to make that so. And for all others who are sick, all those who are not feeling well, all others who are battling whatever it is they're battling, ailments of the body, ailments of the spirit, ailments of the mind, we pray that they will turn to you in their need and in their hope. That you may help us to see that we are dependent upon your grace and goodness and upon one another as well. Help us to see that as we get closer to you, so also, Lord, we get closer to one another. For you knit us closer together as a family, as a church, and as a body, the body of your Son, Jesus Christ. It is to whom that we worship and sing our praises. It is to him that we turn in good times and in bad. And it is to him we pray and say, Amen. And now may the children come forward for the junior sermon. second scripture lesson today continues on the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 10 to 19, and that is found also on page 127 of the New Testament portion of the Pew Bible. Here begins the reading. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias?" He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him, so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who invoke your name.' But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name.' So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, he has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' And immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up, and he was baptized, and after taking some food, regained his strength." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I don't know why it is a common thing to use animals to describe human nature, but we do so very often. Very often. Phrases like "hungry like a horse," "stubborn as a mule," "fierce as a lion" permeate our language and conversation. I recently read an article where someone was being described. It said that they were literally the elephant in the room, which is literally not true. But it is a very common figure of speech that if somebody is the elephant in the room, someone is the 800-pound gorilla. You can all list them in your head, expressions that you've heard that we use to describe people, comparing them to animals. But one of the most common comes from the Bible, as expressions often do. And as is often the case, we're not aware of this. In the book of Jeremiah, the prophet asked Israel, referring to the ways of the nation, which has done evil and refused to follow the law and to take care of the poor, the orphans, and the widows in their midst. He says to them, "Can a leopard change its spots?" He asks this to show that some people can never change. And now the saying has become so popular that many Christians use it not knowing that it comes from the Bible, and many non-Christians use it having no knowledge that it is also in the Bible. Comparing human nature to the animal kingdom is useful, but it always runs the risk that someone will come along and disprove something that we believed before, because we are always learning new things about the animal kingdom. We are always discovering new knowledges, new truth. New things are happening, and it has come to pass today. Because recently, on the island of Borneo, scientists have studied a particular leopard that exists only on Borneo, called the Borneo clouded leopard. And they first discovered it in 1821, but recently, as they have researched it, they have discovered that a new species of leopard has developed. And so now there are two types of leopards on that island. And the reason they know this is through DNA study and the examination of their spots. You see, the clouded Borneo leopard, over time, has changed its spots. And now there are two separate types of leopards on this island. The first one was called the clouded leopard. The second one is now called the Borneo clouded leopard. When you know it, Jeremiah asks the question, and we find out that the answer is yes. A leopard can change its spots. So maybe now this expression is not as useful. Maybe we should retire it, put it out to pasture, so to speak, to use another phrase. Maybe we should turn to a different animal to talk about the ability of a person to change who or what he really is. When we want to question whether or not someone has changed, when we want to ask if a person really can change their nature, maybe we should use the old fable of the scorpion and the frog. Maybe you've heard this, maybe you remember it. There was a river, wide and swift, and there was a scorpion who needed to cross, but of course could not. He couldn't see his way across. He ran upriver. He could not find a way to go across there. He went downriver. He could find no bridge, all the while thinking that he might have to turn back. When suddenly, he came upon a frog sitting on the side of the stream that is on the other side of the river. And he knew that the frog could easily hop across and get across, and he knew that with his help, the frog could carry him across the river. And so he yelled out, "Hello, Mr. Frog. Would you be so kind as to give me a ride on your back across the river?" And the frog said, "Well now, Mr. Scorpion, how do I know that if I try to help you, you won't try to kill me?" It's a fair question. Because the scorpion replied, "If I try to kill you, then you would sink into the water, and I would sink into the water, and I would drown too, for I cannot swim. So, if I were to hurt you, I would only be hurting myself." Now the frog thought about this, and this made sense. This made a great deal of sense. But he asked, "What about when I get close to the bank? You could still try to kill me and get back to the shore." "This is true," agreed the scorpion, "but then I wouldn't be able to get to the other side of the river, which is really what I need to do and really what I need you to help me do." "All right then," said the frog, "how do I know you won't just wait until we get to the other side and then kill me?" said the frog. "Ah," crooned the scorpion, "because you see, once you've taken me to the other side of the river, I will be so grateful for your help, and I may need your help again when it comes time to get back across, to return to my home. So I wouldn't do that." And so the frog thought about this and thought, yes, this argument is airtight. He agreed to take the scorpion across the river. Halfway across the river, to the point where he was not quite in sight of the shore that he left and not quite in sight of the shore that he was going to, he felt the sting that he dreaded in his back. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw the scorpion remove his stinger from the frog's back, and a deadening numbness began to creep into his limbs. "You fool," croaked the frog, "now we shall both die. Why on earth did you do that?" And the scorpion shrugged and said simply, "What did you expect? I am a scorpion. That is what scorpions do." And they both sank into the muddy waters of the swiftly flowing river. Now that I have cheered you up with that wonderful story, we ask, what is the point of it? Well, if you know somebody stings and someone is like a scorpion, be very careful of what you do. Because in this case, it seems to argue that some people just can never change. Here we learn that scorpions are what they always are and cannot change, even when what they do ultimately will hurt themselves. They cannot help but do it. Some people cannot help but lash out or sting or engage in self-destructive behavior, even when it hurts others and even when it hurts themselves. And so we have this fable. It is an Aesop fable. Aesop's fables always use the examples of animals to teach human beings something about themselves, as if we need to have a little bit of a distance to see it. Scorpions are what they always are and cannot change. You should never trust a scorpion. You should never put a scorpion on your back and swim across the river. This is perhaps what was on the minds of the early Christians when they had heard the news that Saul, who was the scourge of the early church, was now claiming to be a follower of Jesus Christ. For Saul was the worst scorpion of all, as far as the early church was concerned. In the book of Acts, we hear how the church grew and faced resistance, and the person who resisted the church the most was a Pharisee named Saul, who looked on upon the stoning of Stephen and who had received an edict from Jerusalem to persecute the church wherever he found it, and in particular was now on his way to Syria, to Damascus, to persecute the church there. And on the way, he met someone who changed his life. He met Jesus Christ himself, which is the only appearance of Jesus Christ in the Bible after Pentecost. So Saul, as he was called then, has a very, very special gift. And it causes him to convert, to change his ways, to do a 180, not a 360, a 180, and be completely different than he was before. It is his experience that inspires the verse, the wonderful phrase of amazing grace, that I was blind, but now I see. And we like to think of this as great and wonderful news, and from the distance now we do, but at the time, the early Christians were terrified. Is this true? Can we believe it? Is this too much? It's one thing to believe that Jesus died and was born again, was raised again, but to believe that Saul could be born again, that is too much. They must have wondered if Saul was the rare type of leopard who could change, or a scorpion who truly could not. We first heard of Saul when he appeared at the stoning of Stephen. He was a Pharisee from Tarsus who was zealous in his pursuit of the law. He was faithful to Judaism and believed that anyone who blasphemed it would bring the wrath of God or the wrath of Rome upon the nation of Israel. And so to believe, as the followers of Christ did, that Jesus was the Son of God, it was his duty to run them out. It was his duty to stomp them out. He was zealous for the judgment of God. And he persecuted these group of people, this movement that called themselves the Way. When he had seen Stephen stoning, he went out, led a persecution of Christians everywhere, which brought him on the road to Damascus, where he hoped to find more and bring those Christians back to Jerusalem for punishment. And he found a Christian all right. In fact, he found Christ himself, who appeared to him in a flash of light, crying out, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And at that moment, Paul was blinded. I'm sorry, I always keep skipping ahead. At this point, his name is Saul. Saul was blinded. With the help of his friends, he then followed Jesus' command to go to Damascus and wait for instructions. This man who was so brutal to Christians was immediately helped by them in following Christ, and there he met a man named Ananias, who had been sent to him by Jesus also. And then Saul's sight was returned, and he was baptized. Well, afterwards he goes on to preach the word of Christ throughout the lands where he used to persecute it. And Saul is a Hebrew name, but his ministry took him to predominantly Roman areas where the Gentiles mostly lived. And so he began referring to himself as Paul, not only to signal his ministry to the Gentiles, but also to signal his new birth, his new direction, his complete and total change of life. Paul is the Roman form of the name Saul. And that is how we've come to know him as the writer of much of the New Testament. So Paul becomes a Christian, and not just any Christian, but perhaps the most famous of all. Jesus tells Ananias that Paul is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. And we know looking back that he did those things. But for Paul's contemporaries, it must have been very hard to believe in his change of heart and very hard to forgive him for what he had done. And so this story then ultimately is a story about forgiveness more than anything else. In fact, any story of conversion is a story of forgiveness. First, God forgiving that person, and then those they hurt forgiving them. First, Christ forgave Paul. And then others would have to as well. For his ministry to be a success in any way, the Christians would have to trust him and believe that his spots had indeed changed. And we know that Christ calls us to forgive others. And we prayed every Sunday in the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." One does not come without the other. We know that Christ forgave even those who executed him, even as Stephen himself did also. And we know that he forgave even a vile and wicked person like Paul and used him for good and wonderful, amazing things. It is a very high bar of forgiveness. It is, in fact, the highest the bar could be raised when it comes to forgiveness. And although we cannot always be expected to reach that mark, still we must strive to show love and forgiveness if we call ourselves followers of Christ. But we also know that we must be careful. For we do live in a treacherous world. We know that there are people always ready to take advantage of our good nature. We live in a world full of scorpions. And we know those people. People who have hurt us time and again. People who promise to do one thing but do another. People who say that they have quit drinking, they have quit using drugs, they have quit lying, they have quit cheating. But then they don't. People who make promises and never follow through, and then they tell us they mean it this time, and we want to trust them. We want to forgive them for what they have done in the past, but we are wary. So when it comes to conversion, when it comes to change, seeing is truly believing. Take Ananias, for instance. Jesus spoke to him directly. Jesus spoke to him directly and commanded him directly, clearly, to go to Paul, who was to be Christ's instrument. But Ananias said to him, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name." Now think of the times when you have prayed to Christ and you wanted him to speak to you directly. And perhaps you were uncertain about what to do because you're not sure if you hear his voice. You're not sure if you fully understand. But Ananias heard him clearly and still questioned what he told him to do. And you can bet that many others acted the same. Before Paul had become the apostle to the Gentiles, he had to convince many people that he was no longer the Saul they knew and feared. I think that Ananias' reaction is instructive for us today. He was chosen to do what was truly one of the most significant and difficult acts in the history of the church, and chosen by Jesus himself, and still he was skeptical, and still he doubted that Paul was not a leopard who could change his spots, but a scorpion who would never change, and would wound himself if it meant wounding others. And so I think it's perfectly all right if you are skeptical of the scorpions in your life, lest you get stung. But as Christians, you must also believe that people can be like a leopard and change their spots. If this isn't the case, then there isn't much hope for the world or the church. We must believe that others can change because we know that we ourselves have as well. For if we may never have repented of sins the types that Paul had to repent of. We may never have had to confess of sins the likes of which Paul confessed to, but that's the point. For if Christ's grace is sufficient for even someone as terrible as Saul was, then it is sufficient for each and every one of us. It doesn't mean that everyone who claims to have changed really has, or that we don't sometimes get stung by people who claim to have done so. But it does mean that the day we begin to believe that a person cannot become new, that a leopard cannot change its spots, is the day that we stop believing in the gospel as the good news of Jesus Christ. Not everybody who hears the word will change. But if we believe that there is anybody who cannot be changed by Jesus Christ, then we really do begin to doubt the power of the gospel. Now, we don't have to believe this right away. It took scientists in Borneo 100 or more years of studying to determine that the clouded leopard had indeed changed its spots and become a different species. And when Paul got to Damascus and preached about Jesus there, I guarantee you many people did not know what to make of it. And as he went on in his ministry, many people questioned whether or not he was sincere and feared him. It took a great deal of time to win people over. But if somebody really has changed, over time, their actions will bear it out. And then it will be incumbent upon us to remember to forgive them for their sins just as we would want Christ to forgive us of ours. It's okay to be careful. It's okay to be prudent. It's okay to be cautious. It's okay to make a person work. It's okay to say, "This is what you got to do to prove to me that you've changed." And they may fail to do so, and we may get stung again, but it is worth the risk. Because although we may believe that a specific person has not changed, we must believe that they can change. With Christ's help, anyone can change. Or else we will find that we are the one whose spots have changed, from those who truly believed in the power of the gospel to affect people's lives, to those who believe that only some people can change, but others there is no hope. Indeed, the good news is that there is hope for every single person in the world, for every single person who has ever lived. Doesn't mean that everyone will take that hope and change their life for the better. But the gospel has the power to change anyone, even a person as wicked as Paul, and make them an instrument of God's greatness. I pray that each one of us will remember that none of us are scorpions. We may act like that at times. We may have stung a person or two at times, and we may have been stung a time or two. But each person can change with the help of Jesus Christ. And this is why his news is undoubtedly good news. Let us remember that always throughout our life. Amen. And now the community comes together at the Lord's table. All believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of your membership in this congregation, are invited to receive the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Please take the emblems as they are passed and partake as best suits your meditation. Our communion hymn is number 400 in the Brown Hymnal. Have thy own way, Lord. Let's sing verses 1 and 4. Certain about the ability of a person to change or about the ability of yourself to change, it is incumbent upon you to come to this table. Because at this table we remember the night when our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed. Betrayed by his friends, betrayed by his followers, and then later on denied by them and abandoned by them. And yet, only about 40 days later, there they were, standing together in the city of Jerusalem, preaching the news of his resurrection and establishing the church which has been handed down for us now after 2,000 years. Quite simply, they had changed. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ had been for them a transformative moment, and they were forever changed. And because of that, those 11 people were then able to change the world. We also come to this table and we hear the words the Apostle Paul gave us as he hands on to us what was also handed on to him. Because though he spent his life initially persecuting the church, he then became one of God's greatest instruments, an apostle to rival the other 11. Here at this table, above all things, we remember the ability of the example, the life, and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to touch people's lives and change them completely and forever, and then through doing that, changing others as well. And also when we come to this table, we come to this table surrounded by, as Paul said, a great cloud of witnesses, many of whom became Christians because of their need to change. And also we gather in this room with others who have in their own life experience changed a great deal because their lives were touched by Jesus Christ also. Indeed, the hallmark of the witness of the Christian church is the ability for people to change their lives and change their directions, to repent, to turn around and go a different way. And so we come to this table to share in this meal, to give thanks for the power of Christ to change our lives, to put behind us what has gone before, and to ask his help to move us ahead in a new direction, to lift up all the things that we want to change, and to ask Christ's help to make it possible, and also to ask his help in seeing the change in others that has happened. Let us share in this meal this morning. Let us lift up to God all the things that we need to change, and have him open our eyes, just as he opened the Apostle Paul's before, to seeing the ways in which we can be made new. And now this morning, let us pray.
Lord, we come to this table of remembrance today in humility. May we sense the unseen presence of the living Christ, who invites us to commune with him and one another. Bless this bread, symbol of his broken body, and the cup, symbolized of his shed blood. As we partake, we do so in memory of him who loves us and gives himself for us. We pray in his name. Amen.
For I hand unto you what was also handed on to me, that on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. And after he blessed it, he broke it, and said, "This bread is broken, is my body broken for you. Eat this as often as you do, in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he took the cup. And after he blessed it, he poured it out, and said, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do, in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. And now it is our custom and our privilege to be able to honor and celebrate the graduates of the year. And so we have four members of the class of 2015 gathered with us today and their families. So we'd like to take a moment and invite Riley and Ryan and Dylan and Rachel to come forward down to the front of the church where they may be honored and receive a gift from the superintendent of our Sunday school, Judy Brow.
Hi, good morning. As the girls and boys are coming down, could we have the families of each one stand up? How about Ryan's family first? You can stand too. Girlfriends are included. Okay, thank you. And for Rachel, family? Thank you. And Dylan Umbles, family? Thank you. And Ian, or Riley Ian's family, sorry, grandparents. Thank you. Congratulations. We're glad to have you all here today. Let me see where I am here. Kind of an exciting graduation ceremony, I understand. Was a little damp. It rained on graduation very heavily. You guys can sit down if you want. You don't need to stand up the whole time. Thank you. unfortunate, but still memorable for all of you in many ways, too. It's a shame that the people who were going to be speaking didn't even get an opportunity, I understand. Sorry about that, too. But we're glad to have you. An exciting time in your lives, leaving Connellsville, which I suppose is exciting, right? Yes, I can remember going out into the world saying I'd never come back to this little old town. Well, not only did we come back, but it was a darn good place to raise a family, to work, to live. And I think a lot of your parents and grandparents would agree that it is a good little place. So we hope you do not forget Connellsville and do perhaps return here, maybe even to live and work someday. That would be a wonderful thing. But this is about you today. So we'd like to hear a little bit about what you're going to be doing, whether it be whether you're going off to college or whether you're going off to the service or to a job. And tell us a little bit about it. Riley, do you want to go first since you're right here?
I'll be commuting from home. I'm going to Westmoreland County Community College to major in electric utility technology and become a lineman for First Energy. It's only a two-year program, and they're going to pay for it. So I'm going to do that.
There's so many things that are available, excuse me, Riley, for people to go into today. You know, back in my day, especially for a woman, it was a teacher, a nurse, or a secretary. Now, you know, the world is open, which is great, too. Dylan, how about you?
I'm going to Pitt Greensburg to do gen eds, and other than that, I'm undecided.
I'm going to Penn State Fayette, and I'm going to be a physical therapist assistant. I actually start this summer, so it's a little bit nerve-wracking, but I'm ready.
It sounds exciting for all of you, and, you know, you do have plenty of time to make up your mind about what you're going to do. A lot of kids go into college, and it takes them a year or two before they even begin to decide what they want. So don't feel the pressure. Make sure you get into a field that you are comfortable with and go from there. But as a church here, we would like to give you a small gift today just as a remembrance. And what I've chosen for you is a book that I found called Jesus Answers. I wanted to read you it. There's 80 very brief chapters in here. And there are things like, what does my future hold? What is heaven like? I don't feel very loving. How long till I grow up? I feel overwhelmed by negative thoughts. Let's see, there were a couple here that were particularly good. But anyway, that type of thing, you know, the kind of questions we'd all like answers for sometimes. So hopefully this will be something that you'll be able to go to, that'll be a guide for you. But always remember, too, that this church is always here for you, this church and the people, and you are always welcome here. And I think anybody in this church would be willing to help you with anything you need, whether it be verbal guidance or help in any way. So I'm going to give you each a gift, and we will certainly wish you Godspeed and good luck with everything.
do rejoice with God for your accomplishments and for your future, and hope that wherever you go, you are guided by the word of God. I know that you are accompanied by the love of Christ, and that you always feel the breeze of the Holy Spirit at your back. If you haven't had a chance yet, make sure at the end of the service that you congratulate each graduate and their family. And now the community responds to the word of God. If any gathered here wish to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, rededicate your life to God, or transfer in the fellowship of this congregation, we invite you to come forward as we sing. Our invitational hymn is number 598 in the Brown Hymnal, "All the Way My Savior Leads Me." Let us sing verse 1. Let us stand. Let us bow our heads for the benediction. May the joy of the Lord warm your hearts. May the peace of the Lord calm your spirits. And may the word of the Lord direct your ways always and all days of your life. Amen.